Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the TechStrong AI podcast. I'm Amanda Rizzani, and with me again today is Mike Vizard. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here as always.
Same. We have some very interesting news in the world of AI, and we're going to start off with an article you wrote about Salesforce, and they're adding some different AI capabilities into their Slack. So can you talk a little bit about that?
They've been touting this Slack AI platform for some time now, but they added some additional capabilities, including the ability to summarize not just the conversation, but create yourself a little news digest out of it that'll pop into your system every morning to tell you what conversations are going on and what's been updated. And, you know, that's a nice, nifty little feature. But they were also demonstrating some interesting things where it's integrated with their Sales Cloud platform. And you can now pull conversations and threads from not just Slack, but also the Salesforce platform, also Gmail, and also LinkedIn. And your sales team can just immediately aggregate all that to generate a sales proposal based on what's going on in those threads. And I know from personal experience, not everybody is on Slack, right? So most salespeople and most other folks who deal with a lot of external constituencies, shall we say, aren't email a lot, and a lot of times those conversations are happening on social media platforms as well. And being able to pull all that together is going to be a huge time saver. I mean, the folks at Salesforce were saying they internally they're seeing organizations are gaining a full day of additional selling simply because their salespeople aren't doing all the scut work. So I found that to be kind of compelling and interesting and a great use case. On the other side of that equation, though, Salesforce has a survey where basically it said that a lot of the professionals that they interviewed are not using these AI tools yet. And a lot of it has to do with, well, they're not necessarily sure they trust the data sources. So sometimes these things are not all that accurate. But I think some of it just comes down to they haven't built it into their workflows yet. They haven't experimented enough with the tools, and maybe they need some actual training, because I think what we're doing here is just throwing these tools at people and say, have at it.
Yes, and I think there might be some overwhelm there. There's so many tools, and when you're trying to use this big sprawl of tools, it can get a little overwhelming. I, for one, love Slack, and of course, we use Slack a lot here at TechStrong, and I like these additional capabilities to collaborate across the different platforms. I find that that's going to solve a lot of issues that some team members are having, to be able to have that all together. And I do think training, though, would be useful for those who don't feel as comfortable.
Yeah. Full disclosure, it is well known that I am not the biggest fan of the Slack platform, and it has nothing to do with the company or the software. It has everything to do with the way people use it, which is there's just too many conversations being started for no apparent purpose, and then they never get cleaned up, and it's just too hard to navigate and figure out what's going on. So I'm hoping this AI tool will solve that problem for me.
Absolutely, Mike. So next, we're going to move on to Microsoft has some news. It has put out an AI model that creates lifelike talking faces. It will be interesting to see how this is used in the future in business, but what are your thoughts on it? Have you seen this?
Yeah, I think this is going to freak everybody out. This is a research project, so it's not exactly commercially available yet, but basically they are capable of taking an image of you, and then they go find your voice recording somewhere, and then they stitch that all together so that they have something that looks like you that is talking, and maybe it's not perfectly aligned with your lips just yet, but it's getting pretty close and it's going to get a lot smarter. This is going to scare people because now anybody's image could be used for anything. We already have all kinds of problems with people taking various, shall we say, heads and images and mixing and matching them in ways that are, shall we say, pornographic. And this is just going to be the next level. And I'm pretty sure that this may drive the Congress and everybody else to act on some pretty severe regulations, because it's something that just shows you what the extent of the capability really is in a way that, you know, a lot of people are going to find, shall we say, troubling.
Absolutely. I mean, we're already seeing a lot of troubling deep fakes across the internet, and we certainly do need some regulations to get on top of this now before it does get worse. So that'll just be interesting to see how they go about using this research and how it's regulated.
I will promise one thing, though. We'll always be us actually doing this podcast here on this video rather than using some sort of AI platform. That's a promise.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Good to put that out there. So I know a lot of us love Top Gun, and so I have some cool AI use cases coming up next. Recently, the U.S. Air Force, and in combination with DARPA, did a test. They did a test run between an AI algorithm and an actual pilot, and they duked it out. The outcome was pretty interesting. Can you share with us?
I think the AI either won or came pretty close. I mean, it showed that it was pretty accurate. And the other thing we keep coming back to with these AI engines is they keep getting smarter and smarter. So I'm sure that, you know, there's a lot of pilots out there that are probably not in love with this idea, but I'm not in love with putting pilots in harm's way in combat either. So maybe we can just have the machines fight it out and let us know how it all turns out later.
Yes, I think this is a really interesting use case. Overall, I think we're seeing a lot of AI being integrated into military operations, which I think is wonderful because, like you said, not being in harm's way quite so much and putting more of those dangerous jobs in the hands of AI would certainly be a win for all. So that was a pretty fun article that you can read on TechStrong AI to learn all about that.
I'm not quite clear how all this turns out, though, so let me get this straight. We spend a couple of $1 billion building out an AI plane, and the bad guys, or the adversaries, depending on your point of view, will similarly do the same thing, and then our two planes will shoot each other down, and then what? We're going to look at each other and go, well, that was great, but, you know, the outcome is kind of didn't change anything.
Well, this is one of those problems. It makes me think back to, what is that movie, War Games, I think, where the AI is in charge and then the whole thing just blows up. So you're going to fight AI with AI and how, I don't know. There's always a question just there.
It just may show us how silly war really is. So there you go.
Yes. I mean, ultimately, would love for there to just be no war. Yes. World peace.
Yeah.
So moving on to the world of healthcare, we have Cedars-Sinai Hospital is using AI to improve their virtual platform to connect with children and other language speakers. And we're seeing AI used a lot more in this capacity in healthcare, especially virtual. So what are you hearing?
I thought this was great. In fact, we just had one of our colleagues have to take a friend to the hospital in a foreign country, and she had to go with her just because she had to translate. I think, you know, we won't have to drag people along to translate for folks, and we can probably get a lot more done and a lot more, shall we say, accurately for folks who don't speak a given language. Now, I know this is kind of a hot button issue for some folks, but the fact of the matter is not everybody's going to speak the same language and we're all moving closer together. So we are going to encounter folks that do not speak the exact same language and may not speak it nearly as well as you do. And no sense in getting upset about it. Let's just use AI to kind of get to the heart of the issue. And especially in healthcare where, you know, somebody is sick, we need to tend to them. Let's not worry about who said what and what language. Let's just get to the resolution.
Absolutely. And I've seen a lot of people utilizing apps on their phone these days when they go somewhere and they don't understand the language. They pull out that app and they speak back and forth using that app.
Yeah. I'm not even sure we all need to learn additional languages going forward. At some point, we'll just have a universal translator kind of like they have in Star Trek, right?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly breaks down barriers and makes it easier to communicate, which is great. And again, maybe that contributes to world peace eventually. Yeah,
and I'll be honest, you know, English might be my first language, but there are places where I go where people speak English and I still need a translation because I can't understand the dialect.
Okay, so next, another article that you recently wrote about the insurance industry and Cowbell using generative AI for underwriting purposes. Can you explain?
I think that this application is going to be pervasive all through the insurance industry soon because there are just mountains of documents that describe what I may or may not be liable for, and nobody understands them whatsoever. So now we can use Gen AI to summarize, A, what's in those documents and kind of figure that out. Two is, as we get better with the AI engines, the reasoning capability is going to improve, and now we can orchestrate the dependencies between multiple policies that might exist. We can also create the paperwork faster. I don't think anybody who does this for a living enjoys it. So I don't think the people buying insurance enjoy sorting through all that stuff. I mean, sometimes I feel like you need a corporate lawyer just to figure out what the insurance policy is saying. I think all that's going to get a lot simpler, and maybe we need to have these documents be as long as they are, or maybe AI is going to teach us to just say things faster and shorter.
Yeah, well, and I'm seeing AI across so many industries, the insurance industry, the financial industry. It's certainly making more processes more efficient and easier and simplifying them.
I mean, when you think about it, right, so many industries create their own jargon and their own nomenclature. And it's really set up as many ways to be a barrier to entry, right? It's an effort to kind of say we are separate and therefore more expensive and we should cost more because we have specialized skills. But if you take a giant step back from it, this too kind of feels a little silly. I mean, how come I got to like learn a whole different language to talk to an accountant to explain to me whether or not, you know, did we make money this month or did we not make money this month? It should be a lot simpler than it is.
Yes. And we know, and we've talked about the customers and the users are a lot more particular and they're expecting a lot better experiences across the board. So AI is one solution to that.
You could argue this is another form of language translation. I don't really understand what half of these people are saying in their particular vertical industries. So now AI is going to translate.
So that brings us to last on our list, which is AI as it pertains to environmental sustainability. And we've posted several articles recently in this regard about environmental footprints and energy reduction. It's a big concern of business leaders. What are you hearing out there?
I think it's a huge concern for folks. I mean, and I'm not sure we understand all the issues that go with this. I was listening to somebody else's podcast recently, and they noted that if we theoretically saw a 2 to 3 degree increase in temperatures at the equator, we would probably be close to the point now where we would not be able to grow food there. If I do not grow food there, people are going to move from there to somewhere else where they can grow food. So that may be north or south. So now we're going to have, you know, mass migrations happening over climate issues, and that will all create all kinds of political unrest. And it just all kind of starts to cascade downwards from there. So I think we need to look at AI and say, how can we run our world a little more efficiently to not have those kinds of outcomes? I mean, it may be too late in that regard, but at the very least, we can start applying that AI to build climate tech, which will help us maybe take carbon out of the atmosphere. I mean, at the current rate we're on, you know, our children, for certainly, are going to have major issues to deal with, and we're probably going to experience them as well. The challenge right now, as I see it, is we got to engineer our way out of it because we're not going to conserve our way out of it.
Most definitely. And it's interesting, the food scenario, because I know we have also posted a few articles about how AI technology is being used for farming purposes and irrigation and checking on crops and things like that. So there's a lot of solutions that we can look at with AI in a lot of different areas, but certainly it is a big topic.
We need to also solve the shipping problem with AI as well, because if I can't grow food where the people are, I got to get the food from where it's growing to where they are. And the simple truth of the matter is, theoretically, nobody in this planet should be going hungry. It's just that we can't get the food from where it's growing to the places where it's needed, and that's where the chaos ensues.
Yes, and this is where there's some interesting news out there about drone technology harnessed with AI is going to, you know, help with those last mile deliveries and deliveries in areas where it's, you know, trucks can't get to them and things like that too. So many possibilities when it comes to AI.
Yeah, and all this is happening faster than you think. I mean, we started out talking about simple stuff like using AI just to create a sales proposal, but it's going to have a profound impact up and down the line. And so, as they say, buckle in because the world's about to change.
Most definitely. And if you want to get more details on any of these topics that we cover each week, we bring these to you in short form. You can read the full articles on TechStrong AI. So make sure to go there and find the things that interest you and read more about them. Until next week, have a great day and have a great day, Mike.
Well, thank you very much. And we promise if you visit techstrong.ai, you will not be disappointed.